During a September campaign stop, then-candidate Donald Trump made it clear, not for the first time or the last, he's not putting out the welcome mat for Syrian refugees, who now number in the millions.
We have no idea who these people are, where they come from. I always say, Trojan horse, watch what's going to happen, folks. It's not going to be pretty.
The Trojan horse Trump is talking about would include refugees from mostly Muslim countries in the Middle East, where ISIS and other terrorist groups operate. About half of the 85,000 refugees who came to the U.S. last year are Muslim. That's according to a Pew Research Center analysis of data from the U.S. State Department. Many are living around New England, and a few hundred came through one agency in New Haven, Connecticut. It's called IRIS, Integrated Refugee and Immigrant Services. Director Chris George says in the coming year, his agency expects to resettle about 500 people, or at least that's their hope.
And that is partly based on an assumption that 110,000 refugees will come to the United States. That was the number that the White House and the State Department gave us. But, you know, anything can happen after January 20th.
When Donald Trump becomes president, because every year in the U.S., the president sets a ceiling on the number of refugees allowed into the country. Federal funds are then allocated to a few hundred agencies around the U.S., like IRIS, and George knows presidents have the power to stop the refugee program on a dime, like President Bush did after 9/11. But what will Trump do?
That's a question all of us are asking. And
in areas like border control or anything having to do with foreign policy is where the president really exercises the highest level of authority and control. So in terms of setting that refugee ceiling for future fiscal years, future President Trump does have the authority to set that ceiling very low.
That's Sudha Sethi from Western New England University School of Law. She says Trump's freedom to exercise a sweeping decision like banning Muslims from entering the U.S. continues a disturbing trend of the last two administrations.
The lesson of the last 15 years, at least, has been that we have given the president a tremendous amount of power, and we have not put into place a lot of accountability measures when it comes to anything that is deemed to be national security or terrorism related, and that's not changing anytime soon.
Many of Trump's statements on immigration so far have called for better vetting of refugees. Kathleen Newman from the Migration Policy Institute in Washington, D.C., says it's a rather rigorous process as it stands. Once people are recommended by the U.N. or an embassy to come to the U.S., the screening begins.
By the State Department consular against both biometric and biographical information. They go through the FBI, they go through the CIA, they go through the National Counterterrorism Center databases, and Department of Homeland Security databases. And then there's an extra layer for Syrian refugees to, you know, make doubly sure nothing has been missed.
It can take up to 2 years or longer. And since 9/11, plenty of refugee applicants have been rejected because of their ties, direct or indirect, to terrorist groups. Amherst College political scientist Ruxandra Paul is watching both sides of the Atlantic right now. If U.S. leadership changes direction on its decades-long commitment to refugee resettlement, she says there's more global uncertainty to come.
Donald Trump has been suggesting that the U.S. has contributed too much and that allies from Western Europe are not covering their share of this burden.
Last year, the U.S. gave the U.N. Refugee Agency more than $1.5 billion. The European Union, next in line, followed by several European countries, gave in the hundreds of millions. From a legal perspective, after January 20th, President Donald Trump is on solid ground if he chooses to lower that refugee ceiling. It's possible, Paul says, if he does, other countries will do likewise. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Jill Kaufman.